And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by commandment, deceived me, and by it it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy. And the commandment holy, and just, and good. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. You hear that? The law is not wrong. It's me that's wrong. It's not the stop sign. It's not the yellow light. It's not the left. It's me that's wrong. He said, I know now that the law really is spiritual because it shows me what's inside of me. But I am carnal, sold under sin. It's not the law that's sinful. It's me that's sinful. And so the law exposes you to who you are, so that God can deliver his grace to you. As long as you think you're good, God's grace don't work. It's not until you realize, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that through him I'm delivered. He took the stinger out of death. My God. Under the law, you see, here's the problem. Under the law, the unclean would contaminate the clean and make it unclean. You stay with me. Leper had to stay a stone's throw away from anybody else. Because if the unclean touched the clean, it became unclean. But under God's grace, the clean could touch the unclean and the unclean became clean. So that Jesus could touch them and heal them and go about them. And that he was able to take your wretched soul. I'm sick of telling. I've heard this argument all my life. Well, your kid infected my kid. My Johnny wouldn't have done that if your Billy hadn't have done that. Oh, baloney. It was in his heart to do it anyway. Wake up, woman. I've heard that all my life. Well, come on, it's in you to do it anyhow. And you need to realize that we're all sinners saved by grace. My, I'm still stirred up. The law could not clean you, but grace can wash you, and such were some of you. The law condemned even the best of us, but grace can save the worst of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we have no right to be boasting about, well, at least I didn't do that. I'm sick of hearing that. Well, at least, as if you're justified because you didn't do that, let's turn a few pages on your life. And what you'll find out, that when you're right in one area, you offend in another. Anybody that tries to justify themselves by the law brings themselves down. That's the book. It's not Bagot, it's the book. 2 Corinthians 3 and 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the new covenant. Boy, I'm glad I'm in the New Testament. I'd hate to be under the law. I love grace. I love mercy. I love forgiveness. I love all these things. Because you know why? I need all those things. That's why I love them. For who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter. No. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. And the law was given where? On Mount Sinai, right? But he lets us know we've not come to Mount Sinai. We've come to Mount Zion. Mount Sinai represented death. They said if so much as a beast touches this, sanctify the people. And if anybody touches it so much as your beast, they die. It represented death. But he said you have not come to Mount Sinai, but you have come to Mount Zion, the Mount of the living God. To an innumerable company of angels, just men whose spirits are made right. We've come to a living God. Sometimes I call that Mount Cyanide. That's what I used to think they said. Because you died if you partook of it, you know, Mount Cyanide. And I think too many preachers have their pulpit on Mount Cyanide. All they want to do is hit you with the letter and hit you where you're wrong and hit you what you need to do and what you ought to do and not cover you with the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. That I used to do the same thing. You may not know that, but I used to do the same thing. And it was only through His grace I am what I am today. I cannot boast in the law. I lose when I do that. When I tell you, well, I ain't never done that, and I sit up here and tell you what I ain't never done, I'm a loser. The law will kill you. Let's read a little further. But if the ministration of death, that's the condemnation, written and engraved in stones was glorious, because in that day it had some glory to it, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of the countenance, which glory was to be done away with. You know the story. He'd come in the presence of God and he had to put a veil over his face because the glory was showing just by him writing the law. And so here we go. How shall not the ministration of spirit be rather glorious or more glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had really no glory to this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. In other words, it's like if it was pitch dark in here and pitch dark and somebody lit a candle, you'd go, oh, light. Look, hey, bring that over here so I can read. But when they turn the lights on, I said, put that thing out. See, that's how much more glorious was the New Testament than the Old. That's how much glorious is grace. The law had a little light. It's a little candle. But when grace came, hey, we beheld His glory, the only begotten of the Son, full of grace and full of truth. Put that light out. What you got that on for? That's not adding anything to it. It's taking away from it. And so that's what He's telling us. The glory of this ministration, this ministry. And you know what He said? He has made us able ministers and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I believe in reconciliation. I believe in balancing things out till they work. Anybody ever sat down? If you write checks and you don't know how much money you got, then the bank will let you know. Or the creditors will let you know. Somebody's going to let you know. You better reconcile it. Because if you don't reconcile it, things get out of balance and they come to get you. And so the ministry He's saying in the New Testament is a ministry of let's reconcile. Everything. Everybody. Differences. Even differences. I was talking to someone the other day and unfortunately another city, another person and all that, so there's nobody in here. But their brother and sister's taking them to court. And I said, that's terrible. Have they not read the Bible? Because they claim to be Christian. I said, this is something you take to your pastor and y'all both go sit down and y'all discuss this. And he said, I dare you to take your matters to the law, to the magistrates and all, when you ought to be able to have church government solve your problems. We ought to be able to reconcile every life's problem right inside the church. And so boasting. Boast only in God. When you boast in the law, it brings further condemnation. It brings further condemnation on you. Jesus told them, why are you trying to get the mote out of their eye when you got a beam in yours? Jesus told these Pharisees, you rest in the law, but you boast in God. This won't work. You claim to be a guide and know the will of God, but you're blind. You claim to have light, but you're in darkness. You claim to be an instructor, but you need instructions yourself. Why do you boast in the law and make God and dishonor Him? They when they came to Jesus, they said, Moses was our leader, you know, Abraham. And He said, I was before them. Who do you think gave him the law but me? No man can justify himself by the law. No man can say he's better than anybody else. When he does, he just brought himself down. A certain ruler of the law came to Jesus and he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Sound like a good question. And I went to the Gospels that recorded this, Brother Johnson, and what you'll see, he said, well, let's look at the law first. He said, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. He named just about all of them when you look at both Gospels. And he even said, love your neighbor. He said that. And the man replied, I have done this from my youth up. He, willing to justify himself, said, I have done this from my youth up. And Christ said, well, I'm glad you brought that up, because no man can be justified by this. If thou wilt be made perfect, sell all you have, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And the man turned away sorrowfully and departed. You know why? I just figured this out last night. He broke the first commandment. If you want to be justified by the law, you see, he told him all these others, and I read them all. I'm like, Lord, that's nine of them right there. But the one he broke was, hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and him only shall you serve. And here's how you serve him: with all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and all your heart. And have no other God before me. But his God was his money. His God was himself and what money could do for him. And so he had another God before God. And he broke that command. Because anytime you seek to justify yourself, the law will come back at you. Anytime you say, well, I'm better than it, the law's going to get you. And so this man turns away sorrowfully because he had many possessions. And he found it to be unto condemnation. The very thing, I've done that from, I've been a pretty good guy. I've been goody two-shoes all my life. Well, that's all right, but what about this one? If you want to be made perfect under the law, obey this one. He couldn't do it. But you know, you read the next chapter, Brother Jake, and we find another rich man. He was about as tall as me. What was his name? Zacchaeus. And he wanted to see Christ. The Bible says he was a rich man, and he wanted to see Christ, but he couldn't see for his short of stature. He's like, trying to see over you. And so he said, I know, I'm going to get ahead. Anytime you want to find Christ, you got to get ahead of him. You can't wait, you got to get ahead of him. And so he said, I know where there's a sycamore tree. I'm going to climb up that tree for the Lord I want to see. You know that little song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he? Yeah, that's a good little song. That's what we used to sing. Some of y'all don't remember that either. But I was always Dick Leslie, and I'd go deep and wide, you know. So, but I made it. And so he goes ahead, and he climbs up this tree. And when the Lord gets to this rich man, he sees his sincere desire to have eternal life. The other man, what do I got to do? He's going to justify himself by, I never did that, Lord, and I never did that. I'm a pretty good guy. And he said, you're lost. But this man, I don't know, the law was not on his mind. I just want to be saved. And he looked at this man and said, come down in haste. He said, because salvation has come to your house this day. Hallelujah. Woo! Yes, it did. He come down that tree and said, Jesus, let's go. And when he got to his house, guess what he did? Opened his wallet up. The same thing the other rich man was not willing to do. He said, Lord, if I've wronged anybody, I give half of my goods to the poor, Lord. I'll sell half of what I got. And if anybody I've done anything wrong, I give them fourfold. You know, we bad about paying people back. Yeah. If I did you wrong, hey, I'm going to pay you back. No interest or anything. Kept it 20 years, and you give them back that same $5 you borrowed from them. Now I feel better about it. He said, I'm going to pay them back four times. This man opened up his heart and his whole house. This is what grace does, brother. This is what grace does. He was looking at Christ. Tell me what I need to do to fix this. Tell me, I just want to be saved. The other man, what have I got to do? You see, I'm good. I obeyed the law. And the law brought about his damnation. But grace and truth brought about the other one's salvation. Amen. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. You see, the story of these two rich men, one tried to justify himself, the other one's open, Lord, this is what I'll do. He was forthcoming with what he wanted to do to make his life right. And the same thing with anything in the church. If I have to make you do it, like give offerings or pay tithes, whatever, if I have to make you do it, that's the law. I don't want to do that. I don't want to. That's why the box is in the back. I don't want to do that. I don't even want anybody to know. But when you pay something, it's wages, right? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when you give it as a gift, you're blessed. If you give it as a pay, you're not blessed. So I don't want to live under the law. I want to continue to live under grace. And anytime we try to justify ourselves under the law, we lose. But when we justify God, when we boast in God, we cannot lose. We cannot fail. For he can do exceedingly. I can't do it, but he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. In my weakness, I realize he is strong. And we boast in God, not in ourselves. I hope I'm helping somebody. Galatians 3:11. Won't be much longer. They can get ready. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Anytime we begin to boast in our own righteousness by the law against someone else, all you're saying is, I'm less wicked than you. That's all you're saying. I'm less wicked than you. I never did that. You're just saying, I'm less wicked than you. It doesn't save you. You're just saying, I'm less wicked. But in doing so, it brings about your own condemnation. And so when we look at the woman caught, it wasn't a hearsay. The Bible says this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And they yank her out of wherever she was at. And they throw her down in front of Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe. You see, last time I checked, adultery requires two. I believe it's one of them dudes. I don't put that on a National Enquirer or anything, but that's what I believe. I believe it's one of them that was there. That's why he could say, I know. She was caught in the very act. How do you know that? Because it was you. And so they throw her, and they said, under Moses' law, you're going to justify this thing by the law. Under Moses' law, he said that a woman did such thing should be stoned. What do you say? And he stooped down, writing on the ground. And they kept at him. Well, what do you say? Look, you read it. And they kept at him. What do you say? What do you say? Well, what do you say? Don't you have anything to say? Moses said she ought to be stoned. What do you say? And he rose up. The lawgiver rose up. The one who wrote the law rose up. The judge rose up. And he looked at them. He said, you want to justify? I'm glad you brought that up. I'm so glad you brought the law up, because no man can be justified by that. You can't justify yourself by telling me what she's done. He said, so I'll tell you what, since we're going to play the law game, then you that is without sin, let him first cast the stone. Now, see, this is where we've always missed this. We've always said, let him first cast the stone. It said, let him first cast the stone. It didn't say, let him cast the first stone. That's not what it says. Let him first cast the stone. And he stooped back down. What he was saying is, I'll tell you the rest of the story when you cast your stone. Go back and read it. I'll tell you, and he stooped back down. So let him first cast the stone, then I'll give you the rest of the story. He never had to get to the rest of the story. Because the Bible says, because they wanted to justify themselves by the law, they go, you know. And it said they eased out from the eldest to the last, or the least. Why? Because, you know, the longer you live, that's right. The longer you live, the more it stacks up. And so the first one to exit was the oldest one. And the last one to exit was the youngest one. And so Jesus said, well, now for the rest of the story. That's where Paul Harvey got it from. The rest, woman, where are these people that want to justify themselves by the law? Where'd they go? He said, Lord, there's no man accusing me. Where are thine accusers? And the Bible said they left out because of their own conscience. Well, I can't say anything because, zoop, you know, I was the one, zoop. And they had to, zoop, because they all were guilty of breaking, zoop, the law. all you're going to do is prove you're less wicked. That's it. And the woman, Jesus looks up and says, "Woman, where art thine accusers?" She said, "Lord, I have none." He said, "Grace." See, the only one that could cast the stone was him. Oh, this is good. The only one that could have cast the stone was him, because he had not broken the law. And he said, "Where are thy accusers?" "Lord, I have none." He said, "Neither do I accuse thee." Now here's grace. "Go thy way and sin no more." Woo, hallelujah. Go thy way. That's what grace does. Let's forget it and go on. Let's get over it and go on. Go thy way and sin no more. I'm not justifying what you did. Now, what you did was wrong. But if we're going to live under grace, honey, it's let's go on. And live by the holy commandment of thou shalt forgive. Because if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. Hallelujah. Would you stand this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The law is always ready to condemn. Y'all pray for your pastor. I got to get over this. Hallelujah. I battle that. I'm searching for my phone. I'm going to take your picture. The Lord didn't let me get it out. Sometimes there's a song they're going to sing for me. It seems like God, I like what Brother Chris said, that scripture, patiently wait. I've told y'all 1,000 times it matters how you wait. There's a difference between waiting and patiently waiting. And when you wait on God, let me tell you, He'll try your patience. Every man's patience, He says, is going to be tried. But I'm here to tell you, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Yes, He is.